learning management system that is being developed by AfriHealth. AfriHealth has, as part of its vision of leadership, the need to build a strong, skilled health workforce in our countries while developing effective, efficient systems to deliver quality health services. These services should ensure both access and equity and are informed by relevant, rigorous research. Africa's health challenges are complex and demand effective collaboration across professions, contrary to often unilateral intra-profession efforts. A strong, sustainable AfriHealth will scale up best practices and innovations, mobilize and engage all health professions across Anglophone, Francophone, and Lusophone sub-Saharan African countries. Thus, AfriHealth has started the development of the learning management system to share knowledge, ideas, opportunities, and best practices for teaching and research, thus serving as a lead innovator in Africa's health professional education and South-South collaboration. This webinar will outline the initial progress towards this and hopefully engage you all in further development and engagement going forward. We would like to thank the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Service Administration through the Regents of the University of California Research Subaward Agreement, as well as the NIH Fogarty Grant for the African Association for Health Professions Education and Research. I now hand over to my co-host, Prof. Mariki de Villiers, to take you through today's program. Just before I do so, I would like to also remind you again to please mute your mics on entry. And if you have questions for the speakers as we go through, please put them in the chat box and I will collate them to give them to the speakers at the end of their presentations. Thank you so much.
I'd like to start right away by introducing somebody that everybody knows, Cheyenne Martin. She's
virtual workshops to deliver the COVID training that we developed. But there was varied experience transitioning to online learning. We had surveyed Stripe schools in April and May of last year, and we found that many of you were busy transitioning your academic programs to online. Some schools closed completely. Online training was expensive in terms of IT, and internet, hardware. There was a lack of availability of those things. And there was also a lack of technical know-how among both faculty and students to transition to online learning. So this is what I just spoke to on the limitations that we were all at last April and May. So the questions that we began discussing is, how do we maintain interprofessional interaction online? How do we overcome the digital inequity, the variable access to internet and hardware and technical know-how? And how do we maintain the aspects of reaching undergraduates while also switching gears to respond to the current frontline providers that are facing COVID at the same time they're delivering HIV services? And then finally, the health system was changing so much in response to COVID-19, including rapid implementation or increased use of telemedicine. So what kind of solutions could Stripe use that would also benefit the health system as it was changing? So I opened up, you couldn't see the slide, but I was explaining our first year in three phases. But, after those discussions of how we transition to e-learning to deliver Stripe, we came to a supplemental year one that four of the Stripe partners participated in to develop and test e-learning strategies for Stripe HIV and COVID modules. And at the same time, AfriHealth began planning its learning management system as a way to pool all of the e-learning strategies that were being developed and be able to disseminate to a wider audience. And I know AfriHealth has a bigger vision for a learning management system beyond Stripe. So from July to last November, four of the Stripe schools, who we call them our startup schools, they started up the e-learning. They tested over 11 platforms and apps to deliver interprofessional HIV training and mentorship. And a lot of this testing was focused on how do you facilitate interprofessional collaboration while everyone is remote. So two of these platforms were selected, Moodle course and Zoom. And both of these will live and be disseminated by the LMS. And the vision is that this learning management system will be owned and curated by AfriHealth for other training opportunities. So now, you know, many of you likely attended our Stripe Year 2 webinar yesterday, where we kicked off with an RFA. And so the vision now is from April to September that the Moodle and Zoom will be used to expand to the Stripe scale-up schools. And so now we come where we are today, and we're starting year two and through the expansion of those e-learning strategies and deploying them on the LMS that you'll be hearing about today. Many of you responded to a recent survey. Thank you. And the results look quite different. 92% of you have resumed educational courses to some or a great extent, and 100% of you are utilizing remote means, with almost 60% mostly remote or an even balance of an in-person remote, with the remaining having a more in-person and less remote. But everyone has figured out how to go remote. And so now really the timing is right to deliver Stripe in the moment of COVID-19 and enable reaching frontline providers where they are. So thank you.
Thank you, Cheyenne. We will ask you to hold your questions or put them in the chat box as you think about them, so that we can have a good Q&A session afterwards. So thank you for that introduction and background. So our second speaker is Dr. Fred Semitala, which is also well known to everybody. Fred is an infectious diseases specialist with a special interest in implementation science at Makerere University, where he's also the principal investigator for the Makerere University Stripe. And they have piloted a Stripe course on an LMS, and he will share his experience with us. Thank you, Fred. We can see your slides, but we're not hearing you yet.
Oh, my apologies. So thank you, Mariki, for having me to present our experience to this very important meeting. I must say that I have one or two of my colleagues who have joined me, and hopefully they will be able to make some responses to some of the questions as they arise. So our program is titled Education for Interprofessional HIV Care in Uganda. And here is the outline of the brief presentation that I intend to make in the next few minutes. So like Cheyenne has mentioned, our initial means of training was face-to-face. But due to COVID-related restrictions, we quickly embarked on a process to transition the training to some kind of blended methods of learning. And largely, it was online with a few face-to-face training sessions. So to do this, we adopted the LMS, which has been in use by some of the schools at the university, but for many of us, it was a new experience. So in terms of processes that went through to set this up, right from the time of conceptualizing this transition, we engaged e-learning experts and the IT experts within the university. We also worked very closely with the guideline content and script writers from the Uganda AIDS Control Program. And fortunately for us, the guidelines had just been revised or updated in February, just before the pandemic broke out. And so we had a one-day physical workshop to review the modules that had been assigned to us, as indicated on the slides. But briefly, module 9 looked at ART adherence and evaluation of biologic failure. Module 10 looked at end of life, and module 11 was looking at pre-exposure prophylaxis and care for men who have sex with men. And module 13 was talking about the health system building blocks. So at that meeting, we assigned module leaders. We had assigned module leaders who made initial presentations and received feedback on how they thought the module would be. And then we, along the way, developed interactive video technology for facilitating interprofessional education and practice. We also had face-to-face training of trainers, workshops at the Mlago ISS clinic. So what I didn't say is that we've had four collaborating institutions, and each in our initial plans, and two was to break down the materials to small content. And then they were also supposed to work with the LMS and IT experts to develop a roadmap for delivery of the materials to the learners. So that picture is one that we took after our initial meeting, integrated meeting with the ICT team, with the LMS experts, and then the facilitators and some preceptors who are going to actually do the training. And this other picture shows one of the schools which had a face-to-face interaction with the IT and LMS expert, while their course module leaders were facilitating using online means. And the idea was that the trainers then would have a hands-on experience in the room, while the leaders who had already had that training would facilitate via online means. So in terms of the tools we deployed for the training, we deployed a well-contextualized online curriculum, as I've mentioned, related to the guidelines. And at that time, we already had access to Zoom with a Zoom room function, which enabled group discussion sessions and also interprofessional mixed discussions. We developed a mobile application support to support easy accessibility of learning the content. And also this allowed for offline access, especially in areas where there was limited internet connectivity. In terms of the quality improvement, which is a core part of this training, this was tracked during group assignments that involved identifying gaps at their workstations. And validation checks were included in the LMS to ensure completeness of the entire course. So to do this, we procured some equipment that would enable us to centrally be able to do facilitation of the training, the online training. And in that picture, we are receiving the equipment, the video learning equipment, at our Center of Excellence, our HIV Center of Excellence in Mlago. So I just thought that we'd share some visual interface. And what this one shows here is the homepage for the program. And maybe what I can say here, I don't know how much you can see, but the point to make here is that this was accessed on online via a web address, and the address is highlighted there. And also that the user accounts were created by the system administrator for each user. And that included the people who provided support, the learners, as well as the facilitators. This is, for example, one of our participating institutions, and this is how their module 13 looked like. And you can see that in addition to decentralizing the platform, by institution. We also included a chat room for each module and reference materials that which were included, and the, for example, the guidelines. And then we also had a clear structure of the course, the roadmap for the module. So in terms of monitoring and evaluation, and I should be finishing soon, we conducted an online baseline assessment with the facilitators and noted that 34% had some experience in online teaching, but they had high limitations in ICT infrastructure, interactive simulations, and online mentorship. We conducted pre and post assessments via the LMS for each of the modules and integrated a section on course evaluation, feedback, and online certificate. So in a way, the students were motivated because they could do everything by themselves. We also had an end-line qualitative interview conducted to capture experiences and the perceptions of the learners. So we had some lessons that we learned from this program. Of course, earlier engagement of key national stakeholders such as MOH, training hospitals, and the universities made it easy to launch and implement this kind of blended learning. So inclusion of preceptors as facilitators provided opportunity for learners to get physical support, some learners to get physical support at their works. Stations even during this largely online training. And also mixing of more experienced with recently qualified providers facilitated effective peer learning in and outside of the general class kind of training. And group assignments exposed the learners to quality improvement approaches for problem solving. We also learned some challenges that reliable internet would be critical for successful e-learning, and platforms that can support working offline, which would alleviate that major barrier. We also learned that use of training approaches that minimize the requirement for all learners to be online at the same time would improve uptake and completion due to competing priorities. For example, nearly 25% of the learners who completed our training did so after the scheduled period. And so they had time to pace themselves and ended and completed at the end. Thank you very much for listening to me. And I hope you to hear some feedback.
Thank you, Fred. That was very interesting, very innovative. I must congratulate you and your team. And thank you also to Shadrach, has been answering questions on the chat room already. Thank you so much. So we go then to the next speaker is Mr. Rao Malela. He's an IT director at GP Infotech, which is an IT services company based in Durban, South Africa. And he is the one that has set up the AfriHealth LMS. So he will give us a talk about introducing the AfriHealth LMS platform. Rao, we can see your slides. Can't hear you yet.
Thank you, Prof. Merki. Hi, everyone. We would like to give you an idea with regards to the features of Moodle as an LMS. So as Prof. Merki said, the LMS for AfriHealth is built on this platform. So it's an open source learning management system. So just to give you an idea what Moodle is about. So it's a dynamic learning environment that is divided into various parts. Like it has got a various options to see the student registrations, enrollments, and then uploading of the content from a teacher perspective. So there's various modules that are constructed as one system. So It is specifically for a learning management that you can do through the online or offline. So you have a blended learning that is possible here. To give you an idea about the learning on a Moodle further, LMS will provide you, actually this is a platform for e-learning, and as Fred said just now, so their course is also developed on Moodle, so which will allow you to do a synchronous learning and asynchronous learning. So that means, like, you know, the students can follow their own pace, and also they can follow the classes and webinars through the virtual classroom plugins that are available, such as Zoom or Microsoft Teams. So with those things, we can actually get the online teaching and learning along with the asynchronous learning as well. So this is used to manage the various courses to the students, and literally like one course and link it to as many learners that you want. So also the system will allow you to divide the learners into various groups or called cohorts in the system. So and each cohort can be handled by one teacher or one administrator from that end. And obviously, as I explained, like Moodle learning management system will allow the students to learn on their own pace. So the overall architecture from a learning management system is it is a purely a web-based system that will allow you to access the system through online on a browser. So you can go to the Google Chrome or a Firefox or any of the browser, Microsoft Edge, and then you can access the system. So literally, like, there will be a backend server which contains all the information, and based on your request, the server responds to the user and provides the information, whatever they required. So just to get into the why Moodle. So here, a very user-friendly interface. That means it will, the options to access the information is clear on the Moodle. So you can customize the branding to the AfriHealth perspective or any of your institution, and also have a very easy navigation. So that will allow you to navigate from one place to the other, from the course to the assessments or from the actual quiz to the survey. So all of those navigations can be easily done. This is specifically can go into an enterprise level from an academic institution too. So that means, like, we can take that training to 30,000, 40,000 students to that level as well. So also the system allows you to manage the course structure. So that means, like, you know, as Fred said, you got 4 modules, and each module, what are the outcomes or learning outcomes, and based on the learning outcomes. So explaining your micro learning is also possible, like where a small chunk of the text and then put in the video related to that, or like you can give after the completion of video. So then you can also go for a restricted learning. That means if a user doesn't finish the topic one, he cannot go to the topic two. So those possibilities also there. And all the course material can be uploaded by the teacher or a manager to the system, including your lesson plans, activities, such as your book activities or a content activities, and you can upload the videos, or you can refer the videos from external sources such as YouTube and all. It is purely an open source platform, so from a licensing perspective. And it is supported by a community, and also the one of the important feature that highlights the Moodle as an LMS is the ability to connect to the external systems, and such as your virtual classrooms of a Microsoft Teams or a Zoom or any kind of those things. Also, it has got a facility to issue a certificates, and it has got a mobile application that comes standard and allows the students to download the content and perform their learning process offline. So at a given time, the student doesn't need to be online explicitly, but to perform the assessments, he needs to be online. So, and also, just to give you an idea, the Moodle comes with a minimal internet connectivity. It can work on that also, or based on the connectivity speed, it reduces the content download feature, and slowly it pushes the information what it can during based on the current internet connection. That's only for the data, not to the videos. And again, from overall features of the Moodle, it is, as I was explaining you, most of them are covered, but it can also help you to do a cloud-based learning or also a blended learning. Like you can go for a hybrid mode or a complete online mode, or like you can also deliver through the virtual classrooms as well. So it will allow you to perform the assessments. It will allow the teacher to track the progress done by each teacher. So it is very, very good from an analytics and reporting perspective that will give the progress of learners to the teacher explicitly. So that's the performance tracking perspective. And it is very secure and community supported. So the main role players on Moodle are the manager, teacher, and non-editing teacher that will help the teacher with the marking and performing the other non-related activities, the student and administrator. So mainly the student is very important role where he can log into a specific course and he can see all the courses that are enrolled to him or registered to him and then he can start learning on his own. So literally like the courses on Moodle, it will allow you to set up a course, enroll the students to that course, and add the learning materials and activities to that course. So literally the activities, I will explain further. The activities can be your surveys or your self-assessment questions, MCQs, or a short essays, assignments, or portfolio of evidences, any of those things that you can test the student on or assess the student on. The major workflows in the Moodle, you can integrate with the other systems in terms of login. So you can actually have one login across the institution. Moodle acts as a content repository. You can upload any kind of content, whether it's the videos, audio files, or PowerPoint presentations, or Word documents, anything, and then it will allow the students to access that information. And also you can restrict the students with regards to the access or like you can provide the grades to the students, and all of those possibilities are exist in Moodle. The small workflow with regards to the courses creation is you prepare a course and offline. So that means like you design the course through an instructional design or like through your Word documents or Microsoft Office package, and then upload to the Moodle, and then you allow the students to access the course. That means like you just enable the course to be accessible for the students, and then also you can handle the evaluation of the learners that are enrolled to that course, and also you can support the students through various mechanisms. You have a forums, you have the chat facility, and also the notifications that can get to the student, and also you can schedule some time on the platform and allows the students to ask the questions during that time. So those are the courses, various activities. As I mentioned, you got a surveys, forums, feedbacks, multiple choice questions, assignments, the chat facility, and all of those that I explained earlier. So there's a grading facility that is possible in Moodle that will allow you the student to upload the or perform the four types of assignments. Like you can advanced upload. So advanced upload means like they'll upload a first draft and then the teacher will review and provide a feedback. And based on that, the student changes it and uploads that to the teacher review. So like that. And the, once the student submits the final draft, it can go to the teacher for a grade. And then the system maintains the grade book, the percentage that he got. So in the same way, the online completion, like the quizzes and all, they can do online directly, or you can upload the file from a student perspective and it will go for a grading. And also offline, like the student can take the question paper, download the question paper, write offline, and before the time elapses of that activity, he can log into the live, and then he can upload it to the system and then can go to the marker for marking. So various teaching tools that will allow you the web-based activities, you have a virtual classrooms, all these are explained. There is a massive open online courses that are available, more than 10,000 courses that we can integrate with this platform if you require. The student features-wise, the course activities, they can upload the various types of files. So they can do the activities, book activities, wikis, and they can view the grade book and they can track their own progress related to that. So there's various assessment tools that I explained already, the shortest quizzes and all of that. And it has got a safe exam browser that will allow the students not to open any other windows from the system at the during the assessment part. So gradebook, progress tracking, and the feedback sessions, the chat activities, collaboration, group work, the forums, polls, surveys, all of these are available on the platform. And also it can email based on your activity completion or a progress tracking report for that. The notifications and as I said, the mobile application and reporting is very good with this. Thank you so much for listening to me.
Yeah, it's very difficult to describe a Moodle LMS in 10 minutes, but you did well. Thank you very much. So we'll go to our next speaker, Tina Geiser. She's an instructional designer from the University of California, San Francisco. And she will give us a preview of the SOAP HIV modules on the new AfriHealth LMS. So Rao, if you can stop sharing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you seeing my slides?
Yes, I can see that. It's quite small though.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for that introduction. I'm Gina Geiser and I'm an instructional designer. I thought it might be helpful just to start with what does an instructional designer do? My role is to help transform the traditional course materials and content into formats that are best suited for online learning. And I'll be working with the Stripe HIV roadmap to develop a framework or structure for the online content. In this first phase, we will strategize about how to best present the materials to support the students so that they meet the learning goals. Okay. So what does the course site look like? In order to make the text large enough to see, I've used the entire slide. So if part of my screen is cut off, you could go to the view options and select fit to window. But once a student receives their login information and is added to the course, they will first see this dashboard. And this is a place that they can return to at any time by way of this left side navigation bar. So all of their courses that they're enrolled in will appear here, as well as a calendar of upcoming events and also their completion information. So this page is also customizable by the students so they can set it up the way they want and only see the most relevant information here at the top. So by clicking this drop-down arrow next to their name, the students are able to edit their profile and access the menu to change their preferences. So in this case, I've uploaded my picture. Here they can change their password, they add their photo, set up their notification preferences. We will have detailed instructions for the students and the facilitators to ensure that they're able to customize their profile. So once I click into the Stripe HIV 3.0 course, we start to see the course materials. The announcements and question and answer forums are here at the top. Students can click the link to see important information that is posted about the course. And they will also receive an email notification that links them back to this page. The navigation bar here on the left has changed to be course specific. So in this case, there's an overview section and two modules of content, module 11 and 13. And then this page is an introduction to the course. It includes information about how to use the course site, introduce a place where students can introduce themselves to their fellow classmates and view the course schedule. So once they click on the first module of content, they will go to another page that introduces them to the topic. And the content is organized from top to bottom. So as they scroll down the page, they will find links to quizzes, readings, case studies, activities, and any Zoom sessions. So here we see a link to a pre-knowledge quiz that is specific to this module of content. So as an example, this short four-question quiz is given at the start to measure the student's understanding at the beginning of the training. Students can answer the questions on the course site, and the answers will be viewable by the facilitators and program staff. There's also a similar quiz at the end of the module to measure the student's learning. So scrolling down the page, we find a case study describing a scene. And then below that is a video of a role play illustrating two different approaches and outcomes of a patient-provider meeting. So we're designing these modules with accessibility in mind. Here you'll notice that there are closed captions that can be turned on or off. The text follows the audio that's in the video. And then there's also other controls that allow one to change the settings for the amount of bandwidth needed to play the video. And this will help when students are viewing in an area that may not have strong network or Wi-Fi signal. So this link displays a PDF of a written article. Readings and materials are viewable online in a browser window. We will provide all the readings on the course site and where possible offer an option to download or print if needed. So under the activities, this link will take them to the first activity that they are to do on their own. So here we see an assignment, which is a reflection about these following questions. The student clicks on Add a New Discussion Topic button to upload their response. In some cases, they may want to answer the questions in a word processing document or journal and then cut and paste their answers here. There's also an option to upload the attachment if needed. So some activities are better done in pairs or in a group setting. So each module will also have at least, it will have at least one Zoom session to meet with other participants and facilitators. Clicking this link would take them to a page with the information about the session. So here we see the schedule with links to join, instructions for attendance. And this is just an example from a UCSF course, but we may want to include worksheets or other materials that would be used during that time together. So in addition, we will have space for facilitators that students will not see. So it could include support materials, answer keys, discussion questions to help guide the live Zoom sessions and the teacher-student interactions. So thank you to our partners, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Gina. Right. Just a big thank you to all our speakers. That was really very interesting. I'm handing over to Fatima now to manage questions. I see there's quite a bit of a discussion in the chat. You're also welcome to... Fatima, you carry on first with the chat room, and then people can also put up their hands and put questions.
Thanks, Mariki. I think there were a few that were answered on the chat, but there were a few that were missed out. So I'm going to just pick on a few that came through, and some not to everyone. So one of the questions to Fred is, Fred, how skilled were the facilitators with online learning environments? You know, you said you did some train the trainers and you had to teach them some skills, computer skills. So how skilled were they, and how exactly did you go about doing that training?
I think the best person to answer that question is Tony, who is online, because he actually took us all through this initial training. Tony, do you want to make a comment?
Yes, I could. Hello. Okay.
Yes, Tony, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Tony Luca from Makerere University. Yes, the level of skills that we needed from the facilitators was really understanding how to use the internet and also the basic ICT skills, because the platform was rather new for some, though some had used them in their organizations. But the skill set was just, you know, the basic usage of internet and ICT skills. Then utilizing the platform that we taught them, we oriented them, we had some sessions with them, and they all picked up, and it was a practical session. So by the time they left, they all learned how to moderate and facilitate their courses. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. It might be useful to share with the AfriHealth team the kind of introduction to the LMS training that you did as well, so that we could merge it with what we're trying to do and make sure we're covering all best practices as well. What I will do is move to the next question. And I know part of it was answered in the chat room, but there is the one about the offline use in the teaching and what were the challenges with the offline aspect. So that's Fred and Tony again. It's about, you said a lot of your learners were using their phones, they downloaded stuff, they did things online, but what were the other challenges that you experienced with the offline learning?
I can say something and then Tony or Shadrach can add. Of course, the offline learning, as you have seen in my presentation, nearly a quarter of the students did not complete the course on time. But because it was auto-generated, they needed to find time to complete the course before they could access the certificate. So in most cases, some of them, it was really the overlap in terms of what they were doing, because these are people who are practicing but also needed to find time to cover the course. So I think for me, it was being able to complete on time and to be part of all the sessions. My colleagues can add one or two words.
Okay, to address the offline issue, we had two different scenarios. There was a scenario where learners were asked to, you know, do something, maybe make a recording or make a, you know, demonstrate some skill offline and then later upload. And that did not need internet. The other option that we're using was the mobile app. The mobile app has an option of synchronizing most of the materials, which is online, onto the mobile phone, such that if you were at home, you didn't actually need internet to read some of the materials. But the challenges come in some of the activities. For example, you know, the live activities, you needed internet, so it would be difficult for you to do that offline. But most of the activities, the mobile app doesn't offer 100% offline activities. There are some activities that offers offline, for example, downloading content. I think these days the new model even allows you to do the quizzes and then later synchronize. The only challenge comes in is that you need internet once in a while to synchronize the content that has been uploaded to what you have on the phone. So even if you took it the first time, if the facilitator added material there, you'd need an internet connection at one point to synchronize what is online and what is offline on the mobile app.
Thank you, Tony. I know there's other questions coming up, but I want to get one to Raul that is more general about Moodle. And I know you've mentioned this before as well. Does the LMS offer any certification or records of completion for the various courses? I know you were talking about badges that could be introduced. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Thank you, Fatima. Actually, the Moodle has got a facility to issue the badges as part of the gamification process. That means, to encourage the learners to perform a certain tasks, like, you know, so you can set a target, and then if they reach that, then you can issue the badges to them. So that's one of the aspects, which is different from a certificate. So you can actually set a target to say, like, if they finish the module 13 and module 11 together, so then you want to issue them a certificate and which can be automated as well. So based on the progress tracking, so the system can say like 90% of the completion or like you can also accommodate the self assessment questions as part of the learning journey. And then you can actually see how efficiently the student finished his learning journey or like learning path. And then based on that, if he achieves 70% or a 90%, then you can actually issue a certificate. So the facility is there.
Thank you. I think this one's for Gina, but I don't know whether Walter meant it for Gina or meant it for Fred, about the fact that have we piloted this and how was the uptake for learners? So Gina, I think we're still setting up the system for piloting, right?
Yes, at this point I'm just building the modules, but I agree we will be doing some testing with the subject matter experts first to fine tune the content and then pilot it with some learners, I believe.
Thanks, Gina. Okay, so the next one is Also maybe from both Rao and Fred can answer, because it's how do you monitor the attendance of learners and participants? And I know there's a function to be able to do that, but maybe Rao, you and Tony, you can tell us a little bit more. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, so I think let me go and Fred can come in or Tony can come in or add on further. From a system perspective, we have a track facility where, complete log, number of times the person logged in and the amount of time they spent on each activity or each module can be tracked and then can be extracted as part of the report or as part of the student's profile and then, take a decision based on that. So that's one aspect. And also, as part of the learning journey itself, you can also set up a restricted access activities to say like dependent activities. And then based on that also, you can actually make a decision with regards to how far the student performed or you can track the progress from that end.
And just to add on what Rafa said, we are facilitators also trained to be able to look at an activity and see. For example, if it's an activity of, let's say, pretest, there are reports for every activity. So you can look, the facilitator can comfortably look at an activity and know that only 60% of the students or the learners have actually attempted this. And Moodle has very many ways of communicating back to the learners using either emails or notifications on the platform. You can actually send a notification to those that have not actually completed, reminding them that they need to do that. And like Ralph said, they're also what we call the condition activities. I may restrict you from not downloading material unless you've done the pre-topic, pre-module quiz. So there are very many ways that you can actually monitor attendance, because if you've not done the pre, let's say the pre, if you set and say it is mandatory for you to do the pre-test before you actually download any material, then you can tell how many learners actually have done the pretest and how many are continuing. So it gives a facilitator room. The facilitators have work to do actually on the platform to be able to monitor and see the progress of the learners. Thank you.
I think my next question is being answered by Shadrack under this, but I'll ask him to share it with everybody else, which is how do you encourage interprofessional collaboration and discussion on the platform? Shadrack, do you want to tell us that? I know you answered some of it in the chat. Oh, Fred.
So in terms of interprofessional work, people were given assignments. And also when we are selecting people, in terms of grouping them, we try to make sure that the groups were interprofessional. And so as they worked through those exercises, it would allow them to interact, but also, as I've indicated in the chat, some of the people we selected were working within similar clinical environment, and therefore they would have some real life experience to discuss. And some of them have continued to do that even after the formal training.
Thank you, Fred. I'm going to allow for these last two questions to go to Rao because I know we're running out of time. So Rao, the questions are, can Moodle detect cheating? So that's the first question. And the second one says, what is the size of this Moodle package? And I'm assuming it means how many courses can be loaded, I think. So can you respond to that, please?
Okay. Thank you, Prof. The idea here is, again, from a cheating perspective, as I said, the Safe Exam browser will not allow the student to open any other browsers on the computer. That comes standard. But there is another paid plugins that we have called Responders, or like you can also use the different plugins, ProctorU and Examine. So there's various plugins that can integrate it with the Moodle where you can actually monitor the students' assessments or track the assessments online. So make sure like the student is online and his webcam is on. The system can take a picture for every 10 seconds or every 15 seconds based on the settings. And then it will also detect the movement of the faces out of your webcam to see whether you're looking at the book or something like that. So there is a bit features, but it's not a standard of Moodle feature. we need to extend it further. So that's what that's the response related to cheating detection. The second one is actually there's various ways to upload the content into the Moodle. You can actually create a SCOM package, or that means like it's called a shareable content object relationship model. So that will allow the instructional designers to prepare a overall package together for the whole course, including the self-assessment questions or any assessment activities, and then can upload into the Moodle as one package for the whole module. So that's option. But in general, Moodle will allow the users to upload various sizes until the 10 meg, or like we can set the settings in a way that the file formats that you would like to allow the student to upload along with the size as well.
Thanks, Rahul.
Just to supplement something from the experience, we also learned that attaching, passing only one particular, let's say, final quiz or final examination would give them, would open you up to, let's say, if somebody wants to do any malpractice. But so what we did is that we ensured that the discussion forum was graded. You only get a grade if you actually share something and there's a reply to your forum. So the overall judgment of whether you passed or not was not just based on the last post quiz, but was based on all the activities that we had decided to grade, especially the discussion forums and the assignments. So in that way, limited, even if someone decided to do any malpractice with the final exam, he should have participated, he or she should have participated in the previous forums for them to be able to have passed.
Thank you, Fred. There are two questions I'm going to take. The first one to Shayan. Shayan, the materials at the moment in Stripe are in English. What about the issues of other languages? So,
AfriHealth and both UCSF are prioritizing getting the materials translated to French and Portuguese. We will need those schools' assistance, and we would like to include cost of translation in the school budgets if there's the technical capacity to take those on, or otherwise we will make a plan with AfriHealth. But I do know that the skeleton structure of Moodle, it does lend to translation. So we will prioritize the LMS course material being accessible to all the languages of the Stripe members.
Thanks, Shan. And the last question is to Fred's group again, is how did you manage the data for learners and how many can be accommodated per workshop?
I'll ask Shadrach to quickly respond to that.
Okay, thank you so much, Fred and Fatima. Now, the data for learners, data, for example, their profile data, their pre and post tests were all stored in the LMS. So we hosted it, and the host server backs up all that data, and we're able to access the raw data and make analysis that we want. But also, fortunately, the LMS has those functionalities of doing any kind of analysis that you want. It's only when you want to manipulate further that you access the data. But all data was captured in the LMS, including their assignments that they did, the role plays, video recording of role plays. All that was captured in the LMS and can be accessed by the administrators.
But how did you manage data for the learners?
How did we manage data for learners?
Yes.
Maybe I've not got you right, because
I think they talk about internet access and data being used up to access
Are we talking of internet data?
Yes.
Internet data. Yeah. In our final report, well, that's one of the major challenge why learners dropped out. The internet data was a challenge, and some could not even attend some sessions. So we found it that it was necessary to provide them some reasonable amount of data. Yeah, but we didn't give them any data. We only provided to the trainers.
Thanks, Shadrach. And then how many people attended your workshops?
we targeted 97. Yeah, and we started with 97 and 70 completed. However, among those 70, 23% did not complete on time. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Shadrach. I appreciate that. And thank you to all the speakers. I'm going to hand over to Mariki to do the final closing. And if there's any questions, Mariki's put in an email address, to which you can direct your questions and we'll try and get those answered as well. So I'll hand it over to you, Mariki.
Thank you so much to the four speakers. You did very well. The activity in the chat box and all the questions was just a measure of the great interest. Thank you so much to everybody that attended. This is just the first of many more interactions to build this LMS to the needs of our African teachers. And please continue to ask questions. You all know Iranius, who's our senior program manager at AfriHealth Secretariat. And that is his email. I'm not sure, is it .org or .com? .org. .org. Okay. So thank you, Iranius. Thank you very much to our partners, UCSF and ERSA, for funding. And we hope you have a great day further. Goodbye.